This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. This is the Relic Radio Show. Thanks for joining me again this Tuesday. Another 60 minutes of old-time radio, as we do each week. We're going to start off this week with Bogey and Bacall and Bold Venture, an episode titled The Ghost Ship. First aired August 20th, 1951. It's a quick Believe It or Not and Wedding Ceremony. We'll finish off with Voyage of the Scarlet Queen and an episode titled The Barefoot Nymph and the Mother Hubbard Jacket. This one aired August 28th, 1947.
Bold Venture. Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance, starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. Together in the sultry setting of tropical Havana and the mysterious islands of the Caribbean, Bold Venture. Again, the magic names of Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall bring you Bold Venture and a tale of mystery and intrigue.
Sailor, let go of the wheel for a minute.
Why?
So you can pinch me.
What else could a girl ask for? Happy slaves?
Ah, when I die, this is the way I want to live.
Yeah. The two of us on your boat, sailing the Caribbean Sea. Southern wind kissing your cheek. Me pinching you.
Who's talking about that?
There's something else to talk about?
Yeah. Fish.
Okay, what'll we discuss? Guppies or flounders?
Ah, look at him, sailor. Did you ever in your life see a beauty like that? That marlin, what a beauty. What a fight he gave me. Must weigh 300 pounds.
300 pounds? How come I can lift him? And with one hand?
What do I know about the talents of weightlifters? I tell you, that marlin... Hey!
See what happens when you talk like that? Even boat motors can't take it. They start to die.
I don't understand it. She's been running like a dream. Here, grab the wheel, sailor. I'll take a look.
What's wrong, Slade?
Sounds like dirt in the fuel line. Choke it, sailor. Give it the choke.
Think you can nurse it along till we get back to Havana?
No, I'll have to clean it out.
Maybe we can get some help.
Sure, we just dip a chubby little hand into the sea and bring up a mermaid mechanic.
We could do that. Or we could hail that catch drifting off our port bow in the cove there.
What?
I can make a name. Golden Swan. What do you say, Slade? Shall I hail her?
In between chokes, sailor, who knows? She might lay an egg with a clean fuel line in it.
Ahoy! Golden Swan, ahoy! Ahoy! You try, Slate. My siren call isn't doing anything to them.
Roll up the cuffs on your jeans. Show an ankle. That'll get them.
Golden Swan, ahoy! It didn't work, Slate, and I rolled up both cuffs.
Here, watch me. Ahoy, Golden Swan, ahoy! Hey, that's funny. There's no one on deck, not a sign of movement.
After you roll down your pants leg, what do we do?
We board her. They don't treat me like that.
Hold my hand, Slate. I've never walked through a ghost ship before.
Eerie, isn't it?
The other hand. This one's got a stalk of celery stuffed with Roquefort I swiped off the captain's table.
Catch riding off an uncharted key without a soul aboard. Who's going to miss a stalk of celery?
The way that table was set, like a banquet. Hors d'oeuvres, chicken under glass. Who walks away from things like that?
Not you, baby.
Enjoy your chicken sandwich?
Yummy.
I don't understand it. Not even a dead man aboard.
He's complaining.
Come on, sailor. There's something about a deserted ship that brings out the lonely in me.
Maybe we could tow her back. Find his keepers, you know.
No, I don't want her. She's too rich for my blood. Come on.
Cut it out, will you?
Oh, now, Johnny boy, lad, don't take it to heart.
Try it, Captain. Pick yourself a palm tree, lean against it, and enjoy the night. Just leave me alone.
You don't like me. Captain Carey isn't good enough for you. He talks too loud. His hands aren't soft and pink like yours, eh? Now, let me tell you, Johnny, lad.
Yeah, yeah, all right, forget it.
Forget it, Johnny says to me. No, 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 I can't do that. No, no, boy. Something like you and me he's got here. It's something Captain Carey's been looking for. A long time looking for.
Look, Captain, maybe there's another way.
Yes, indeed, there is. But I have to tell you, John boy, I'm not happy with you. And by this time now, your wife is supposed to be dead. You promised, lad. Hey, what's your wife doing now, Johnny?
In her hotel room, I guess. Yeah. Sleeping. Margaret likes to sleep.
Margaret Norman, a sleeper. In a fancy hotel room on silken sheets, I'd say. Why didn't your wife show up today? Why didn't you bring her to the Golden Swan?
I told you, she was tired. She didn't want to look at it.
Didn't want to look at it, the lad says to me. So we had to hide the boat till another time. Kill her another time at another place.
Now look, Captain,
and
please.
And the thing I don't like, those people who boarded my ship.
But they looked, they went away.
Aye, they looked and they went away. Then other boats came and tried to find the Golden Swan. Yeah, lucky we are to have found this cove to hide her. Calm water, she'll just drift there. And lucky
yeah,
we are.
Yeah, we're lucky fellas.
Yes, indeed we are. To have such confidence, you and me, each in the other. And we're fortunate. Now, the final item, lad. Here.
What do I want with a gun?
Why, lad, but for a thing. Kill your wife with it.
You're crazy.
Be I now? Go on, take it. Hey, take it home with you, John.
You're going to sit here and wait?
Oh, lad. You're such a child. Listen, John, two people came to my boat today in a power cruiser. Its name I saw was Bold Venture through my glasses. And I must seek them out. Tell them how lucky they are still alive. Tell them it might not be so the next time.
Come on, sailor. We're not making a dent in the brain of the inspector of police.
Oh, don't grow impatient, senor. My brain is your brain. Make dents to your heart's content.
Your brain is his brain, huh, policeman? That explains why Slate's been suspicious of me ever since we came off that catch. He can't believe that all I swipe is a chicken sandwich.
Yeah, that's why.
You have brought to me perhaps a slice of this chicken? What was it? White meat or dark meat?
Eat your heart out, kid. It was with pickle relish.
It is not that I have a tooth for chicken, senor. It is only that this would be a slice of evidence that you indeed saw a ghost ship. The Golden Swan, you called her?
Because it was the name painted on her transom in big gold letters. What would you have called her?
And you did not tow this ghostly ghost ship in?
We told you why. Our fuel line was fouled up.
In the approximate hour that you have been here, you two, I've had my harbor police combing the waters.
You're going to say all they came up with was sea dandruff.
I would if I could have thought of it. I was going to say my harbor police found no trace of a catch, the Golden Swan.
Maybe she drifted out to sea. She was there, LaSalle. We walked her deck, spied into her cabin.
I think you do not need police, senor y senorita. I think you need a psychiatrist. Let me recommend mine. Here, his card.
He's good, huh?
For people who see ghost ships, he's a dilly? Si, a dilly. Amuse yourselves, amigos. And please, stay away from me. I've got enough crazy already. Go away.
How much longer are we going to have to wait?
How do I know?
Just seems to me that the registry office ought to have a better system. What do they do? File data about ghost ships on ectoplasm?
What are you so impatient about? Here comes Senor Mercado now.
My apologies, Senor Sharman, Senorita Duval. I have kept you waiting too long.
Now, what did you find out about the Golden Swan?
The Golden Swan, owned and capitan by one Capitan Carey. And, Senor, I whisper this in your ear of this Capitan Carey. Bad, nothing but bad. Suspicion there has been of him.
Like what?
Two ships of the Capitan blew up in port. One in Macau, another in Montevideo. Insurance was collected. However, the two words have been whispered.
What two words?
Skull and doggery.
That goes without saying. Now, about the Golden Swan?
Of this, I know nothing. It has not been reported in these waters. That is all I can tell you.
That's enough. Come on, sailor. Sailor, how come a ship we saw and the cops didn't see and is never reported and...
Which way to the registry, mate?
Oh, in there.
Hey, don't I know you?
Yeah, what makes you think you do?
Sure I know you, lad. A shipmate once on the Golden Swan.
Oh, the Golden Swan, huh? When were we shipmates?
Oh, that old death ship, the Golden Swan. Oh, you see her again, mate. Keep away from her. Take it from an old shipmate.
You trying to tell me something, old shipmate of mine?
I said it.
Now look, Buster.
My boy. Remember the old days? Old me, handy with the shiv, the knife and the ribs? Sure you remember. So remember about the Swan. Keep away from her. Goodbye, my boy.
Been a happy day, hasn't it, Slate?
Yeah, it makes me tingle when an old salt points a shiv at me.
All he did was carve his initials in your pea jacket.
Yeah, but on the lapel.
Let's leave it like that, huh, Slate? Like two ordinary people living a humdrum existence.
How come we see things no one else does, sailor? How can complete strangers stick knives into us?
We're talented. I'll get it.
I'll get it. Grab your darning needle. Start being humdrum. Shannon's place. Slate Shannon speaking.
Mercado speaking. I know something, senor.
Goody. Been a nice chat. Goodbye.
I know that only this minute my mouth is talking to a lady. A lady of fragrance who wished to buy the catch Golden Swan. She wanted to know if the title was clear.
What lady? Where?
The Senora Margaret Norman at the Palace Hotel. Her perfume was...
Put up your thimble, sailor. We're calling on a lady of fragrance.
I'm telling you, mister, you can't go in there. That's Mrs. Norman's suite, and she...
Yeah, I know. She left orders not to be disturbed.
So make a snappy right turn, walk down the hall, turn right, turn left, and then you go through the door to the... Did you say something, miss?
No. It was the man on this $5 bill talking. Have you ever noticed what a real old chatterbox he is?
Well, what do you know? Mrs. Norman left the door unlocked. Thanks a lot, chums.
Mrs. Norman? Mrs. Norman? Try the bedroom, sailor.
All right. Mrs. Norman, I'm sorry to wake you up like this, but... Slate, come here, quick.
What's the matter?
Look at her. She's been shot.
Huh. The one person who could have given us an answer, sailor... Something tells me that's why it happened to her. That's why she's dead.
Our stars, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, and the second act of our story.
A catch there was that sailed the seas, lately drifted around the Caribbean. seen by Miss Sailor and Slade Shannon. Then in a twinkle boat seen by no one. Then come a lady to registry who owned Golden Swan, so asked she. Then she returned to her bed, perhaps she is tired. Come person with gun, lady expired.
Por favor, Senor Slate. I have come to ask questions, not to hear music.
King Moses answered all your questions, Inspector LaSalle.
Rhymed them, too.
Thank you, Miss Sailor. However, in the case of a lady who has been murdered, it is not always easy.
I think you did very well.
My father before me, Senor LaSalle Sr., who was also of the police, took me upon his knees and told me that on certain days, the career of the police is sometimes for the birds.
I can make up a song about a bird, Senor LaSalle. I will give it to you.
No, por favor, no.
Have you figured out a motive for this killing, LaSalle?
Si. The person who killed Senora Norman was a thief. The Senor Norman revealed that jewelry of great value is unaccounted for. Therefore, missing.
So there's a Senor Norman. What about him?
If you are being evil, Shannon, to think that he killed his wife, the answer is impossible.
Her husband doesn't have a trigger finger?
Two of them. However, he is accounted for at the time of the murder. Too far away from the scene of the crime. Discussing business with a Senor Capitan Carey. We checked with this Capitan Carey.
Captain Carey. Now that's a name that brings back a memory.
Just for the record, LaSalle, what does this Carey look like?
Heavy set, big all over. This way and this way. Beaten with the weather. Not too much hair. But down to his knuckles with tattoos.
Something tells me I've seen those knuckles clutching a knife. Think your minions can find him again?
It is important to do so, senor?
Yeah, it's important, and I'll help. The captain was Norman's alibi. Let's see how much Norman will cover for the captain. Slade Shannon, Mr. Norman, with a friend.
That's telling him.
Go away, get out.
That's no way to talk, Mr. Norman.
I told you, get out.
Inside, Mr. Norman.
What do you want with me? You're working with the police?
Uh-uh, Mr. Norman. This is Slate's private project.
Well, I told them I didn't kill her. I didn't kill Margaret, and I don't know who did. A beating won't make me know either.
You don't understand, kid. That's not the project. All I want from you is an old shipmate of mine, Captain Carey.
Captain Carey? All I know about him is he owns the catch I wanted my wife to buy for me. That's what we were talking about on the other side of Havana when Margaret was murdered.
And you wouldn't remember where that is?
No. Not even if you...
I know. Not even if I beat you. You're in for a disappointment, kid. I'm not going to beat you. Let's go, sailor.
I admire you, John Boy. I do indeed.
Thanks. I kill my wife, rob her. I get admiration from a guy like you.
Oh, but a drop in the bucket, these gems, compared with all your wife's wealth, eh, my boy? The money you figured to get?
Yes, skeds and skeds of it. One thing, Captain. It's going to take a little while for Margaret's will to be probated, for her estate to be transferred to me.
I should get restless waiting, John Boy. I have what I need, this jewelry.
What are you talking about?
An idea of something worthy, lad. I don't trust you, Johnny. A thief who kills a woman is never trusted, didn't you know?
Hey, now look. Look.
Hey, now look, John says to me. Yeah, eventually the police will get onto you. And you'll be naming me. Won't you, boy?
No, Captain, no.
It has to happen, John. Oh! Sleep, lad. While it happens to you. Adrift in the Golden Swan. Dead. In time, you will explode.
Come on, sailor, on your feet.
Slate, we've already looked in every waterfront hole in Havana for Captain Carey. How far can you go on a crummy vendetta?
Till one of us drops, me or him.
Well, you take it alone this time, Slate. I'll stay here at the hotel to rest my weary jeans. I'll get it. Shannon's place, Sailor Duval.
Inspector LaSalle, senorita. We have found Capitan Carey.
Don't you lay a finger to him. He slates. It's LaSalle. He's found your boy.
Hey, give me that phone. Where? Where is he, LaSalle?
In my office. He laughs in my face and tells me how he does not know where is Senor Johnny Norman. He says...
Maybe he'll tell me, LaSalle. Just hold him there. Bye, sailor.
You kidding? I'm going with you.
LaSalle, all I need is 10 minutes alone with him. We fellows of the sea have a language all our own.
And in this language you will bring me the whereabouts of Johnny Norman?
That too.
I have just put a new grass rug on the floor in that room where he is. Be nice to it.
Maybe I can get him to wear it for a skirt.
Well, if it isn't the sailor boy, Slate Shannon. You come to help an old shipmate in distress?
Yeah.
It helps, doesn't it, Carey?
Hey, it clears the head. You're the man to my liking, Shannon. None of that lily-fingered la-dee-da.
That shiv, where'd you point it, Carey?
Here? No, a little higher. Nearer the heart.
You're sharper with the knife, shipmate. You unconscious, Carey? If you are, I'll... hate myself in the morning.
Hey, what makes your blood boil so, lad? What is it your brain's drooling for?
I already got what I want. When I'm running an errand for a policeman. They want Norman. They want a murderer.
All right, they can have him. I'm weary of the lad.
Where?
On the Golden Swan, 2 miles off of Dugo Key. Is there anything else your seaman's heart needs?
Now that you mention it. So I'll hate myself in the morning.
Now, you really ought to check with your psychiatrist, Inspector LaSalle. You're walking on the deck of a ghost ship. Do you believe it?
Si, I believe it.
Okay, Captain. Where's the cargo? What'd you do with Johnny Norman?
He's living the good life, lad, in my cabin. Here. When I left, the boy was learning a sad sea chanty and singing it for his poor dead widow. Hey, it's in here. Now, John, boy. What are you doing lying on the floor, boy?
Senor Norman is dead. From a large-caliber bullet.
Is that what you do when you get tired of a buddy, Captain? Give him large-caliber bullets?
I tell you, Slate boy, I don't know what happened to him. I'm as surprised as anyone here.
I'm not surprised.
The thing's mysterious aboard my ship. Take the dead boy and let's leave it.
Yeah, what's your hurry, Captain?
Well, it's my ship. I said get off it.
You know, Slate, the captain didn't want to come out to the ship in the first place. I wonder why.
Yeah, a fellow might think the ship was going to blow up in his face.
What are you saying, Shannon?
Our captain boy's got a history. Rumor has it he time-bombed 2 ships. One in Macau, one in Montevideo.
That is an interesting...
Slate, watch him.
I've already got it, dear girl. My gun. Waiting for me in my desk drawer.
The same one with which you killed Senor Norman?
You'll never know. Don't be a fool, you know, but I will. Shannon, help me.
Yeah. Hold him, LaSalle.
You're a fool, policeman. Get off my arm.
He'll do that. Did he get you, LaSalle?
Hey, see, here in my shoulder. Finish it for me, Slate.
Now don't stand there, sailor. Give LaSalle a hand.
Here, put your arm around me.
Gracias.
Sit down here.
On your feet, Captain. Come on your feet.
We've got to get off the boat, lad.
Yeah, how much time do we have, Carey?
I don't know. Not much. None, maybe. I think we should get off the boat, lad.
Now, just take it easy. I want to give LaSalle your confession. Who killed Mrs. Norman?
John Boy did it. I swear it.
Did you help him?
We'd better get off the boat.
John wanted his wife to buy him this boat. He was going to show it to her, wasn't he? Then somehow he'd leave her alone on it, and it'd go off. Is that why we saw the Golden Swan floating around, Captain?
I'm warning you, lad. Off the boat.
Where's the time bomb hidden?
It's going to go off soon.
Who killed Johnny?
I'll tell you ashore, lad.
I want a confession. Sailor's my witness.
Aye. LaSalle's fainted, Slate.
Got a cigarette, sailor?
Sure. I'll light it for you. Here.
Thanks.
Slate, what's all this business about we're going to get blown up?
That's a trick the captain has.
Listen. The bomb's in the hold. An alarm clock wired to dynamite, strung to the ceiling, a little after the engine.
Well, that's a nice place.
Very.
Get it for the love of me.
Oh, there's lots of time.
No, lad, there isn't. There's 10 sticks of dynamite.
Who killed Johnny?
Get the bomb.
Who killed him?
I did.
Let's go, Captain. Get the bomb.
We'll be too late. It'll blow up.
Make him hurry, son.
Come on.
There it is.
Get it. Tear out the wires, Captain.
Yes. It's done.
Yeah, me too.
Sailor.
Uh-huh.
If I ever get brave like that again, wire me to 10 sticks of dynamite and set me off for 10 o'clock. Yeah?
I just got a call from the hospital. The Sal's going to be all right.
Oh, that's fine. Sailor, take a walk on the beach?
Uh-uh. Not tonight.
Oh, this is a new sailor. What makes tonight different?
Who needs walking on the beach?
Okay. Bye.
Bye? Where are you going?
I got a standing date with a hat check girl at the El Nido. We walk together between hats.
That's nice. Bye. Well, aren't you going?
Come here. You just want to be begged, don't you? Bye, sailor.
Slate, come back here. Check your hat, mister. Check your hat. Oh, Slate, you weren't going to leave me, were you?
Check this beret, sailor. Your floor show's great.
And so our two stars, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, have brought to a close our latest Bold Venture story. Special music was composed and conducted by David Rose. May we invite you to listen again next week at this time for another exciting adventure starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, together in Bold Venture.
Truth is stranger than fiction. And this is the proof. This is Ripley's. Believe it or not.
King Henry II of England, in a campaign to wipe out robber barons, destroyed 1,115 castles. Believe it or not. In a moment, I'll tell you about a gruesome wedding ceremony. If the wedding announcement appeared in the local newspapers, there's no question it would be the news story of the day. For Elizabeth Kelsey and Jonathan Titus were married in a graveyard. It seems the day before this Salisbury, Vermont couple were to be wed, the bride's brother died. It was decided, however, that the late brother would attend the wedding anyway. So the couple exchanged their wedding vows beside his open grave. Believe it or not.
Position 120 degrees 29 minutes east, 14 degrees north. Wind light, sky overcast. Remarks: departed port of Manila 9 a.m. after canceling shore leave for crew. Reason for unscheduled departure: the barefoot nymph in the Mother Hubbard jacket. days out of Kwatau, China, that we raised the island of Luzon on the eastern horizon and stood in toward Manila. I swung the Scarlet Queen a little north of her course, and we passed close under the rocks of Corregidor. Every eye on our deck was turned toward the squat fortifications for a minute. By this time, they were covered with jungle growth again and were loudly silent, in the manner of monuments that hold the stories of men who made them monuments. Beyond the island, we could see the steaming mass of Bataan, and we swung back into Manila Bay. Manila should have been a friendly, relaxing port for all of us. It meant a break in our voyage under charter to Kangenstern. To my crewmen, it meant the longest shore leave they'd had since we left San Francisco. And girls who knew what that meant to American seamen. To my chief mate, Gallagher, it was like a home state picnic. The harbor was jammed with freighters and tankers from the States. That meant that the Belanga Street bars were jammed with their crews. And that meant that Gallagher was jammed in with them, running into old friends and making new ones. Manila should have been a holiday. And it was, for 3 days and two nights. At 10 o'clock the third night, I was in the cabin alone, thumbing through the latest hydrographic bulletin I'd been able to find in town, when I heard somebody running down the dock toward the Queen. Fred! What's the matter? Her husband show up? What's up, Red? Come on, calm down. What's the automatic for? Come on, give it to me, Red.
Get away from me, stupid.
You're off your nut. What happened? Who'd you kill, the president?
I might if he gets in the way.
Gallagher! The wild-eyed mate and an automatic loose in Manila. There wasn't much time for the hydrographic bulletin. I closed it, locked my desk, and went out after him.
And so Mutual continues the voyage of the Scarlet Queen, written by Gil Dowd and Bob Tallman. And starring Elliot Lewis. The Scarlet Queen, proudest ship to plow the seas, bound for uncharted adventure. Every week a complete entry in the log, and every week a league further in the strange voyage of the Scarlet Queen.
Gallagher is being pushed by temper or is in a hurry. He walks as though he's working up against the incline of a pitching deck in a storm. His body bends forward from a point almost as low as his feet. His shoulders pull up protectively on each side of his head, and his arms barely swing in short arc. I followed him up to Butane Street, across the railroad track, through the park on Ambil and Dewey Boulevard, and to the left on Belanga. We passed three bars. I could hear the fourth from a half a block away. The dimly lighted sign that hung outside said Victory Cabaret. But judging from the din of battle that poured out at us as we approached, somebody had been a little premature in naming it. The remaining activity was going on in the center of what was left of a large bar room. I lost Red for a minute, but then I found him in the center of the room.
Hey, Red!
I lost him again, then I saw him heading toward a door at the rear of the room. Red!
Red, wait for me! Hey, what?
He stopped at another door halfway down a long, dimly lit hall by the time I caught up with him. He opened it. The room was furnished with a broken window, a woman who looked like Miss America, and a man who should have been in a morgue instead of sprawled on his face where he was.
Peterson, but who else could it have been?
He was wearing a gun. He
started to pull it after Pete Slug.
How'd you get mixed up in this, Red?
Because he pulled that gun. That's when I slugged him. And that's when he took a shot at me, and that's when I got sore.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Now you've collected a shiner and a split lip. You've had a fine night. Now it's time for bed. Come on, let's go.
Red, please. You promised me you'd help me out of this.
What?
I'm afraid to leave here alone. I don't know where that Mason is or anything. The whole thing's so crazy. I'm just scared.
Oh, help.
Scared.
Look, Skipper, take her home, will you?
Why me?
I didn't ask you to tag along, did I? But now that you're here, do it, something. I want to stick with Pete so I can get word to his ship. I hope somebody's around to do the same thing for me sometime.
At this rate, it won't be long.
Thanks, Skipper. Well, you want to fight your way out through the bar, or would a nice broken back window in a quiet alley do?
It was easier getting out than it had been coming in. I slipped out first. I crunched onto the glass, the window glass on the ground. I waited quietly for a minute to see if the noise had raised anybody. I gave the alley a quick once over. There was nobody in sight. But just as I started to turn back to the building, I caught a glitter of metal in the light from the window. It was a small nickel-plated revolver lying on the other side of the alley. Now, if the gunman had tossed it there, it was all right with me. I left it for the cops. Lona followed me out, and in 5 minutes, we were in one of Manila's prized two-wheeled horse-drawn rigs, and we were headed for her address.
I wonder what's going to happen.
The law's going to show up, and they're going to start scattering the bones. It usually happens with murder.
I'm so scared, I don't know what to do.
Oh, come on, calm down. You're a beautiful dame, and a couple of guys started fighting over you. In fact, the whole joint finally was. You're just living in the wrong century, that's all. Women thrived on that kind of stuff a few hundred years ago.
I suppose the police will get my name, won't they?
Well, you'll be lucky if they don't.
Oh, dear. That'll mean my job. It's all crowded out to be an evening of just fun.
Look, Lona, I don't feel quite as sorry for you as you do. I'll tell you why. Maybe it'll help you. It started out to be an evening of just fun for Peterson, too, didn't it?
I'm sorry, Steve.
All right. Now, is there something else you'd like to talk about?
No, I guess you said everything.
The rest of the trip was not comfortable, but it was silent. Plopped across the Patrick River and turned down a wide thoroughfare that led in the general direction of the exclusive residential district under Tagate Bridge. The direction surprised me only a little, but her address, when we finally reached it, was as far removed as Manhattan's Beekman Place from the Victory Cabaret. In class, if not in miles. It was a graceful mansion set behind a well-tended lawn that was made precisely irregular by a few neat garden plots, made primly informal by a number of mango and papaya trees that threw cautious shadows in the faint moonlight.
Well, aren't you going to let me out?
Yeah, if you're sure this is the right address.
Do you want to come in?
No, thanks. I'm confused enough out here.
You're a refreshing guy, Skipper.
Huh?
A helpless dame, and there are no passes or anything. Nothing but a brotherly remark about my being beautiful.
Yeah. I'm always shy with women I take away from dead men.
Oh. You kicked me all the way up from Belanger Street. I guess you just had to kick me into the house, didn't you? Good night, Skipper. Thanks.
Good night, Lona. Hey, Cachero. Back to the Victory Cabaret, Belanger Street. Paid my cachero off and headed into the Victory Cabaret. The only person in sight was a hefty, barrel-waisted bartender who was pushing a broom at the litter on the floor.
Keep your pay in your pocket, mate. I ain't open for business.
Yeah, so I see. What happened?
What happened? Well, I'll tell you. It was no more than a friendly little scuffle.
Yeah, looks it.
A few of the hands from a few of the ships come to the shore for a good time.
The cops get here?
And it cost me a few $1,000s. Somebody's got to keep up the morale in the Merchant Marine. A nice bunch of boys.
The cops. Could May help you?
That's a good question.
Anybody killed?
So I hear. One outright and a half a dozen they wasn't quite sure of. You missing any friends?
Yeah, one. Big red-headed guy wearing a jumper with the sleeves rolled up, tattooing on his arms.
With a name like Gallagher. He's a friend of yours, you say?
Yeah, why?
You better be careful who you admit it to. They got a book for murder.
They're nuts.
Oh, I don't know. A fellow was shot in one of my rooms back there. When they sneaked up on this Gallagher, he was outside the window with a gun that's done the shooting still in his hand.
They're nuts. I saw that gun lying out there in the alley myself. I can prove Gallagher didn't kill him.
Huh. That story, you better find another port. While we're on the subject of moving, get out of here, will you? I lost enough friends in the force tonight.
I walked out of the door 10 steps up the sidewalk. And then 5 steps back. I watched the bartender pick up the telephone. This time I took a cab to Lona's address. I wondered what she'd say now about involving her name when it was the clear red. I had a few answers for that. And I was working on a few things to say to Gallagher for standing there in that alley with the murder weapon in his hand when we pulled up in front of the house. By the time I reached the door, I knew it was no good. It was 1 a.m., but I had a hunch that for Lona, the day hadn't ended.
Well, Skipper,
I hope it isn't too late.
It never is at my house. Come on in.
She had a sort of breathless expression when she talked to me. The corners of her mouth were drawn up slightly into a bare trace of a smile. Her lips were always separated, just a little. Her eyes were warm and brown.
Come here.
She led me through a short hall and down 3 steps into a large, carelessly furnished room. She was dressed in a hostess gown of some light, clinging material.
Oh, I'm
her hair went with her eyes and it hung just short of shoulder length. Her feet were bare. We crossed the room, went into a den. It had a tile floor, low, wide bamboo furniture, wide screened windows that looked out onto a side garden.
This is my favorite room. Do you like it?
Yeah, it's great.
I don't think you really like rooms. Some men don't. Sit down.
Uh-huh.
No, not there. Hmm? You see my abstractions. I paint a little. Over here on the stairs. You been drinking or shall I mix one for you?
I haven't been drinking and I'd like one.
All right.
How'd you know I'd be back?
Because I asked you.
I didn't hear you.
I didn't ask you with words. I asked you with me.
Oh. You're an amazing little creature.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Huh? You've changed so many times tonight, but I can't stay abreast of it.
I change all the time, so I won't become monotonous. That's the only way I can stand myself. Which one of me do you like the best?
This one. Barefooted. Your hair down.
I was brushing my hair and you rang the bell. I don't think many women do, but I love my hair. So soft. Feel it.
Where do you come from?
Every place. Do that with my hair some more. What's your other name besides Skipper, I mean?
Phil.
Oh.
What's the matter?
Nothing. Nothing, darling. Glass just rolled off and broke. For a minute, I didn't know what it was. That sound will be this night, even when I'm old. Your nice, tanned face and your blue eyes and your strong hands. You think I'm beautiful, don't you?
I think you're beautiful.
Good to be with someone who thinks you're beautiful. Tell me.
You're beautiful.
Yes, I know. Darling. Phil, I'm so happy. It's so good to be beautiful with you.
Maybe it would have been different if I hadn't been afraid of her. Or if I hadn't been convinced that everything she said or did had purpose. Or if I hadn't known that each of us was waiting for the other to bring up the subject of Gallagher's arrest. But there was no doubt about one thing. And it was hard to keep it from overshadowing anything else. As she repeatedly stated, as she loved to state, as she loved to hear me repeatedly state, she was beautiful. from any measurement or any comparison. She was beautiful. But even she dropped the subject after a while.
Make mine weaker than yours, will you, Phil?
I put it the other way. I'll make mine stronger than yours.
It makes you happier that way. I'm willing.
Oh. Better get this glass off the deck unless you expect me to carry you around the rest of the night.
How long are you going to be in Manila, Skipper?
Oh, I don't know.
I wish it was going to be for a long time.
Yeah, it might be.
Phil, listen to me. I've got to say this. You've got to know I mean it. It happens, but it never happened to me, and now I think it could. I could fall in love. Don't laugh at me.
Don't joke.
I'm not joking. For the first time in my life, I think it could happen.
I'm sure you mean that as a great compliment. Somehow it doesn't hit me.
Oh, Phil, why are you acting like this?
Because I don't believe you. Because I've never had any reason to believe you. Because I've gotten nothing but lies from you ever since I met you.
But I'm not lying. Why are you treating me like this?
What other way is there? You're a great little animal to have around the house, but you're only safe when you're out in front where somebody can watch you.
All right, Phil. Maybe you know what you're trying to say.
So do you. For one thing, you killed Peterson.
I did not.
You were lying, man. You said he was shot from outside the window, and he wasn't. He was shot by somebody inside the room. You were the only one there.
I didn't kill him.
Now, don't think I haven't enjoyed your so alluring hospitality. But the smiling, spontaneous welcome I got at the door doesn't hold water. Because I'll bet you my ship that you knew I was on the prowl and probably heading this way 40 minutes before I got here, and you heard it from the bartender at the Victory Cabaret. I saw him go to the phone. What are you supposed to do? Hold me here? And for why?
What do you want, Phil?
I want my chief mate. I'll trade you or anybody else in on him.
Oh, Phil, why did you wait? If you suspected these things, why did you go through with the sham of life?
All I want is my chief mate. If you don't start doing something about it, I will.
All right, Phil. I have to make a couple of calls. The phone's in the other room. You carry me.
Huh? Oh, yeah. It was the deal, wasn't it?
I wonder why it had to be this way, Phil.
I don't know. I don't know what your game is, and I don't care, but you were in it before I was.
Phil, Red was only a coincidence. Really, he was.
Huh?
He just happened to know Cliff Peterson and sit down with him. And then the stupid redhead, he had to go out the window and find that gun and be standing there when the police showed up. So then Delkey had the brainstorm and twisted
the
story.
The
yes, he told the cops that Gallagher instead of Mason had made the pass at me. That started the whole thing. And he went after Peter.
Yeah. All right, here's your phone.
Do you believe me, sir?
How in the devil should I know when to believe you and when not to? I told you, I don't care. All I want is my chief mate. When I get him, I'll believe anything.
Gallagher was just supposed to stall things until Mason could get back to the States. He was leaving in the morning. I was supposed to hold you until his ship...
All right, fine. Let him find somebody else for a stall. Who are you going to start with, the chief of police?
Say, the police think even less of me than you do. We have to settle this between Ralph Mason and Delkey and myself.
You're going to bring him out here?
Where else?
Looks like I'm going to be outnumbered, doesn't it? I stood by her when she made her calls, and as far as I could figure, they were straight. Just strong invitations to get to the house as quickly as possible. Then she made a typical exit into another part of the house, and I went back to the den. I thought the least I could do was to get rid of the jagged edges of our brief and hypocritical romance, so I got a bar towel and pushed the broken glass under the couch. When she came in, she'd gone through another complete change. She was dressed like her front lawn, primly, informal, in beige black, topped by an overmodest jacket buttoned high around her throat and hanging loosely like a Mother Hubbard to her waist.
It shouldn't be long, Phil. Maybe we could have a neat one while we wait.
Yeah, sure, sit down. Incidentally, I don't like your new character.
It's all right for the time of night, isn't it?
I guess so.
I think I ought to warn you, Phil. Mason is dangerous. He'll try to buy you off first.
Buy me off of what?
He'll try to talk you into... You want to go to the door with me? Or do you trust me enough to let me meet them?
I can't think of anybody I ever trusted less. Go ahead.
Captain Carney, this is Ralph Mason, and I believe you said that you'd met Mr. Delphi.
Yeah. Yeah. What's on your mind, Carney?
My chief mate. I want him out of jail. I got enough on that mess in the Victory Cabaret to tell a pretty good story.
It's a pretty good story the way it stands.
Cops like it. They won't by the time I get through with it. Just one thing. The glass from that window that was supposed to have been broken from the outside. None of it's inside the room where it should be.
I think that's enough since they arrested Gallagher standing on the outside looking in, it might be.
Even Manila cops should change their mind on that one.
Story could wait, couldn't it?
Not the way I see it, no.
Here's your hat, mate.
Don't be rude.
What's your price, Connie, to leave your mate in a jug until we're clear of this? With the truth, you can get him out any time.
It's pretty high. I'm leaving tomorrow.
I'll start with $15,000.
I don't think you can go high enough, Mason. You might as well quit. All I need is a patsy, and I don't care who it is.
May I say something, Ralph? I don't quite see why we have to bargain with Captain Carney. You didn't hesitate about Peterson after his double-cross, Ralph. Now Captain Carney is in the way.
When you hate real good, don't you?
It's business, Captain. I used such bad judgment when I offered to let you join our little organization.
You what? What are you talking about?
Captain Carney has a ship that would fit into our inter-island work. So afraid I made a mistake. I explained the type of contraband that was coming in from the States, the prices we were getting for it, and how there were opportunities for a man like him. I'm so sorry. He led me to believe that he was interested.
You're a sucker for men, Lorna. You found Peterson, too. That cost us $30,000 worth of stateside liquor and 3 months to get it over here. Peterson sold it on his own.
Not quite on his own, Ralph. He didn't have any contacts here.
Who was in with him?
Well, I was his very best friend in Manila.
Why, you dirty...
Mason shoved his chair out of the way behind him as he got up and started reaching inside his coat for a shoulder holster. That's when the Mother Hubbard jacket lifted a little on the right side and Lona's manicured hand pulled a belly gun from the waistband of her slack. Spoke twice, quickly and effectively, and Mason stiffened, and his right hand stopped an inch away from his gun butt, and he toppled slowly backward across his overturned chair.
Delphi, don't ask one question. I have this all worked out.
But, Lona...
You can solve the murder in your cabaret. You take Mason down to the police. Tell them the story of how the glass is on the wrong side of the window. You tell them you captured Mason single-handed and you'll gain a whole lot of new customers.
Well, they believe me, Lona.
It's the truth, isn't it? And here's the gun you captured him with to prove it. Now get him out of here. Good heavens. Look at that floor. I wonder what this all meant, Phil.
Hmm? Oh, what, Lorna?
This thing we lived through. It's been important, hasn't it?
Yeah, slightly. Two guys didn't make it.
Oh, that isn't what I mean. We did move everything and make this little room the center of the world, didn't we?
I wish I knew what you meant.
You wonder if I'm still in love with you, don't you?
Handedly, by this time, I don't know what I wonder.
I could be, Phil. I'm afraid it's impractical. If you'll just hold me. Just once more. Tell me once more.
Beautiful, Lola.
And I'll always remember the glasses, Phil. It's getting late. You'll have to go.
Well, couldn't we have one more drink?
Oh, no, I wouldn't dare. Got to put my hair in braid and straighten the house up. My husband is coming home
Your
in the
husband?
Morning. He worries so about me. I have to have everything just
Your husband?
So.
Where is he?
Oh, he has gold mines in Mindoro. He's much older than I am. But he's rich. He allows me to stay here in Manila with my hobby. Goodbye, Captain Carney.
That morning, Gallagher had been released. I rounded up the rest of my men and we slipped away from our berth and headed out through Manila Bay. We picked up a moist, hot wind at the mouth.
Stand by! Make sail!
And the exhausted crew stumbled to their station.
stations, every man bare to the waist and glistening wet. Even the mainsail looked tired as it struggled up the mainmast and reached hopefully out for a pulling breeze. But the jib crawled out. Then the mizzen boom swung sullenly over my head. And the Queen rolled slowly down toward Verde Island Passage, the Sabuyan Sea beyond.
Well, I had a good rest last night, but it looks like I'm the only one aboard that did.
Oh, lay off, Ray.
Look at that crew. It's a disgrace. I'm half a mind to turn them all to holy stone in the deck from bow to stern.
Take over, will you, Red?
Oh, not on your life. This is your watch, and I'm going to take my exercise. That Manila jail air is invigorating.
Now, lay off, will you, Red? Don't forget, I was sitting in the cabin with a hydrographic bulletin when you busted in.
Take it easy, Skipper. Go on below. I'll take your trip.
Ah, the devil you will. Just wait till you crawl aboard the next time. And don't think you haven't done it before. I'll hand you some sympathy.
What are my chances in the next course?
Fair, and I'll be waiting for you. It's Masbate.
What do you know about that jail?
Nothing.
And before I take a nap,
huh?
What is your outstanding recollection of the capital of the Philippines?
Some broken glass I pushed under a bamboo couch. And I wonder what her husband's going to say.
It's funny you mention that, Skipper.
Yeah?
I met a husband in jail. He was in for murder.
But he killed a wife?
No. The smooth-talking stranger. Drink, Skipper?
He killed the wrong one.
After you, mate, after you.
Log entry, the Ketch Scarlet Queen, 5:30 p.m. Miles traveled from San Francisco, 9,450. Wind light, sky overcast, sea leaden, carrying full sail. Ship secure for night. Signed, Philip Carney, Master.
That's going to do it for the Relic Radio Show for this week. You can find this show, all the other podcasts, and links to everything else Relic Radio at relicradio.com. You'll also find a donate button there if you'd like to help support this and all the Relic Radio shows. I appreciate it very much if you're able to help out. And as always, thank you to those who have. Thanks for joining me this Tuesday. I'll be back next week with something from John Steele Adventurer and The Haunting Hour on a brand new episode of the Relic Radio Show.